Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I want to start today with a verse of scripture, or rather with a prayer taken from a verse of scripture that Elisha prayed for his servant. The title of today's message is what? People are like, until I go to Canada and Pastor Bright is my pastor, I won't say it. The title of today's message is what? Brighter. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 13. Elisha has caused havoc in the kingdom. That's a summary of it. And the king is tired of him, as any wicked king will be of a righteous prophet. Are you with me? And so, in 2 Kings 6 from verse 3, the king finally finds out where, from verse 13, he finds out where Elisha is. I want you guys to read from verse 14 together with me, like you love the word of God, want to go. And they surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God, people where they, people that are protocol to pastors in cities, he says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning. Just imagine, you wake up in the morning and you come out of your house and the first thing you see is an army of horses and chariots. And he was so confused. He said, oh my master, what shall we do? And what did Elisha say in verse 16? Want to go? Now, Elisha and his servants are in the same situation. But the difference is that they are seeing two different things. And so, the servant is afraid because of what he can see. But Elisha is not afraid because of what he can what? He can see as well. And so, when we talk about brighter, when we talk about your level of enlightenment in the word, it's important. Because your level of light is what determines your level of victory. I hope you wrote that down. Your level of light is what determines your level of victory. And the prayer I said I want to pray for you this morning is the same prayer that Elisha prayed for his servant in verse 17. Elisha prayed, he said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Say, Father, open my eyes. See, I declare that my eyes are open to see the truth in your word. And it's amazing how the moment his level of enlightenment changed, his experience changed, because the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw that the hills were full of hills and chariots of fire, more than those of the soldiers all around Elisha. And as if that was not enough, Elisha decided to diminish the level of light the enemies had. He said, Lord, strike them with blindness. And so now in verse 19, the person who is leading the soldiers is the very person that they came to arrest. Have you ever seen any of your friends say, in fact, I'm going to beat this person. I will beat them. Maybe anyway, second school, I will beat them. Then they go to the person's class and you are passing. You see them doing frog jump. Light. Somebody say light. And so now they are asking Elisha for directions. Sir, please, which way? We came to arrest you, but which way? And in that blindness, he leads them out of the city into Samaria. And the king of Israel, he's saying, so what do we do now? Do we kill them? The servant too was also charged. Everybody is stronger because they can see better. I want you to understand that messages like this are not just some esoteric kind of messages to make you seem like we are a very, very serious church, even though we are, amen? It's not just to teach you things to make you feel like, the depth. I need you to understand that that depth is for your good. Because if you see better, you will do better. If you are struggling with a habit, if you are struggling with fear, if you are struggling to do anything that God has called you to do, this is the answer. This is the same prayer that Paul prayed in the Ephesian church. Ephesians 1 from verse 16. He says, I do not cease to give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what's he praying for in verse 18? He says that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. So after thanking God that you are saved, the next thing I'm praying is that your eyes be open. The next thing I'm praying is that you see clearly and clearly. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Let me show you something. In Acts chapter 7, they had asked the man Stephen a simple question. And like any Bible teacher, he doesn't answer it simply. Hello? Have you ever tried asking Pastor a question before? Did he give you one sentence? Two sentences? Sometimes he will do YouTube video parts 1 to 3 to answer one question. And so now, these guys have lied against Stephen. They said he said this, he said that. And this is where the trouble started. They gathered Stephen. They asked him, Stephen, are these things true? And so, in almost 60 verses thereabouts, Stephen is answering this yes or no question. He starts from Abraham down to all the descendants before he gets to them. You wicked and perverse generation. But the beautiful thing about this experience is that to the natural onlooker, when Stephen is provoking these people, they are seeing gnashing of teeth, they are seeing anger, they are seeing stones. Please look at what Stephen is seeing. Acts 7 from verse 55. It says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. Oh my goodness. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Please read together with me verse 56. What does it say? So for the average person, when you hear about, I remember when they said Stephen was the first martyr. I learned it in primary school. When did you learn it? Well, that's when I came to CCI. And I thought martyr was a sweet word. Like, because you know the word Martin, I think it's gotten from martyr. So I was like, fresh. What does it mean? We now went to class. I said, so when I die, the guy die. And for the average person, it's a horrible thing. How scared you must have been. You're concerned about him, and you should be. But the Bible says that in this moment of his life, where he's going through this heart-wrenching experience, he's seeing something entirely different. He's seeing the Son of Man. He's seeing the heavens open. This is important because you see, light in the Word of God will keep you through difficult times. Can you hear me? It will keep you through difficult times. People will look at you and they won't understand. How is it that you are still standing strong? It's because they don't see what you see. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. The word of God that is just mere words to someone can be spirit and life to you. The words that Stephen was speaking on that day had the power to save, had the power to heal, had the power to deliver. But the people with stony hearts, all they could do was to think of the stones in their hands. Enter. I'll just say it again for effect. You guys know what to do now. I will go to, where is my car? So as I was saying, you rewind that part, so as I'm saying it afresh. Feel me? So I said that the words that Stephen was preaching had the power to save and to heal and to deliver. But the people with stony hearts only cared about the stones in their hands. Okay, it's okay. Thank you. Someone stood up there. Yeah, this is my church. Glory be to God. Proverbs 4 from verse 18. Are they? Proverbs 4 from verse 18. Glory be to God. I'd like us to read it together once we go. Proverbs 4, 18. Are you there? Me, that team, you are not working with me. Are we there now? All right, let's go. Once we go. It says, but the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Glory be to God. I don't know if you guys realize that one of the most frustrating things about Lagos, well, in a way, granted, there are so many frustrating things. Abby, maybe some people didn't see Shege. You will not see Shege in Jesus' name. In fact, you are the Shege that Shege is looking for to run away. But I think that one thing that makes Lagos frustrating sometimes is the sun. Okay, granted, Abuja also has sun, but they don't have traffic. Abuja also has hot sun, but they also have what? Good roads. They have sanity. Someone say Lagos is saying how. But do you realize that around like 7 a.m., the sun is out, Abi? But it's different from 10 o'clock sun. It's different from 12 o'clock. It's different from that sun that shines when you're walking from home and they take light by 2. You know that one that doesn't say, oh, you think because you're inside, I will come and meet you. And the truth is that there are different dimensions of light. Bible talks about it in 1 Peter. There are different dimensions of light. It doesn't shine the exact same way every single time. Praise the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to talk about that very quickly in relation to the word of God. I don't want to reach there first. Oh, time. Please, what time is it, I beg? I'm in the middle of my notes. No, people said, I said I will drag you by your wig if you don't change. Whether it's true or not is inconsequential. How can you say that about me? Glory be to God. Let me teach you something else before I get to dimensions of light. The first point I really want to make is that the man in Christ is at an advantage when it comes to the word of God. I'm going to say it again so you can write it down. The man in Christ is at an advantage when it comes to the word of God. Has anybody ever prayed this prayer for you? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for you. You said amen, let me see you. I mean, I know you said. You have prayed it for someone, let me see you. I have a question though. What is the thing that eyes have not seen? Is it that maybe you have a child, the child will be half angel, half human? Or you have money, the money will be too much, it cannot be in any worldly currency. Let's go and look at it. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 9. Before you say amen, we must read verse 10. Are you ready to go with me? All right, want to go, let's go. Glory! What does verse 10 say? God has done what? Why are you quiet? God has done what? How did he reveal it? So it means that it's like our eyes have seen. And our ears have heard. And it has entered into our hearts. Please, I want us to really understand this. The man in Christ is at an advantage when it comes to understanding the word of God. The person that is telling you wise have not seen, maybe they are not in Christ, or maybe they don't understand. But for you, it's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God. It's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God. It's just like if you're in a cinema and you're watching a movie and you're wondering what's going to happen, who's going to die next. And then somebody at your back is just whispering, he will slap that girl now. And he slaps her. She will vomit blood. She will vomit blood. And she vomits blood. She will carry wings and start flying. And she does the same. You will turn around. Pastor Sim is like, what kind of story is that? You will turn around and ask the person, how do you know all these things? This movie just came out. And then the person tells you, see, I'm a member of the crew. Nigerian films. So you see, I've read the scripts before. That's your advantage. The word of God is not impossible for you to understand because you have the Holy Ghost. And this is a very important point to note. Have you ever met somebody that says, I'm an atheist, but I studied the Bible from cover to cover? Then, in the ignorance, they say, I know Bible more than you. The fact that you can quote 36 days does not mean that you understand politics.
And every job is every job.
Thank you. Pastor in America, I hope you are watching, sir. Glory be to God. When the word of God is preached or taught or studied or written, it's not beyond your understanding. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 14 says, the natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. Somebody once told me, I'm going to prove from this your Bible that Jesus is not God. When you enter a room already blindfolded, you cannot see anything. It says that these things are spiritually discerned. So when you go to the word of God, it doesn't mean that the word of God has a private interpretation to you. But what it means is that the truth and the light in the word of God, you are at an advantage in understanding them as a man in Christ. Glory be to God. I'm going to say that again. Faith in Jesus is the first step to properly understanding scriptures. Because of my time, I won't dwell too much on that. You see, in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, I like the way Paul phrased that. He says, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in other words, this specific prayer point is for people that believe in Jesus. Do you get that? So before he prays for enlightenment, he acknowledges that he's praying for enlightenment for those who are saved. Praise the name of the Lord. Number 2 points, which I was trying to focus on before, is that there are dimensions of light. And you determine your dimension. You see, I know mass. It has to say, then why do you change to arts class in SS3? That's Nanya. None of your business. But I know mass. My 4-year-old also what? Knows mass. If you ask her 2 plus 2, she'll say what? I don't trust some people. They're like, Pia, give me a calculator. My 4-year-old knows mass. My 6-year-old knows mass. My mother-in-law, who is a mathematics professor, also what? But the dimensions are different. If you ask me, do you know mass? I'll first of all ask you, what do you want to solve? Because from the moment I entered GS1 taught them and they started teaching bearing, I didn't understand anything again. There are dimensions of light. Glory be to God. And a good way to understand dimensions of light is when Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 18. It says, consider then the parable of the sower. He had said the parable earlier. I won't read that again. But it says, when someone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it. Let me read from verse 20. I think that will be better. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about dimensions of light. Apologies about that. Okay, so from verse 20, let's read that together. One, two, go. Matthew 13, 20. One, two, go. But since he has no roots, he remains only for a what? For a season. And when trouble or persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. And so this first dimension I'm going to call easy reception, no roots. And there are people who get so excited about the word of God like this. Everything Pastor said during Reboot Camp, they were so happy to hear that, as they should have been. But you see, the Bible says that when persecution comes because of the word, this person quickly falls away. Another dimension from verse 22, I'll read that. It says, the seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word. So that's where they got. And it becomes unfruitful. Is it, you hear the word of God, you want to do what it says. But there are easy ways to get money and everybody around you is doing them. You hear the word of God and you want to do what it says. But it actually says you should not date an unbeliever. Why? So this is reception, but wrong environment. Because it talks about being sown among thorns. Being sown among thorns. And so for many of you, you are hearing the word of God, but the reason why your light is not shining brighter in the word is because of your environment. So some of you need to go back home and take out the thorns. Taking out the thorns might imply that you move out of that roommate's house and start paying rent. Or that you get another roommate. Taking out the thorns might imply that you go back to your social media and audit the pages you are following with your secret account. You guys know that Pastor is following your real account. He knows you. And Pastor doesn't use those things to play. One time he saw someone following one account. He said, so can you explain? How did your spiritual hand click follow to this account? So now everybody's wiser. Let the wisdom be real and thorough. Go and unfollow with your private account. Take out the thorns. And so many people receive the word of God, but the environment chokes it up. All the friends you have, a small girl, big God. They were like, what's that? If you don't know, it's not for you. Look around you. What's choking the word of God? What's choking the word of God in your life? Maybe you shouldn't have 2 movie streaming apps. Is it instrumental to your progress and joy in the field? Why are you quiet? Maybe you should not be on TikTok. That's your version of a joke, Harry. Glory be to God. Some of us are staying in the word and we are dwelling in fear. It's true that you are trying to meditate on the word, but you meditate more on what that person said about how you would turn out like your mother. You meditate more on what they said about you when you were a child than you are meditating on the truth that God has said about you. And so the word of God is getting choked. See, it's not everybody that you listen to. Can you hear me? It's not everybody and everything that you listen to. And so, some people are listening to the word, but what else are you listening to? And so, by the grace of God, in February, we're able to shape your mind with love code. But January to December, it's music that is shaping your love walk. January to December is there, Joro. Did I get it? I've not done enough research in that area. I'll come back with more information. That's why I go online for research. What else? So some of you need to pull out the thorns. Next dimension. It says that the seed sown on the good soil is the one who hears the word and does what? And does what? And does what? And understands it. And understands it. And indeed, bears fruit and produces a crop. And even that crop is in dimensions. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. So the fact that you reaped 30-fold last week doesn't mean that there is no room for you to reap even more this week. Glory be to God. All right, let's move on. How do I grow in light?
Are you learning something this morning? Oh, wow. Are you learning something this morning? All right. Glory to God. How do I grow in light? How do I shine brighter in the world? How does the word of God shine brighter to me? Number one, study. What's number one? So you see, Paul is praying this prayer in Ephesians 1, but Ephesians 1 is not the end of the letter. He goes over to Ephesians 3. I want us to read from verse 3. So those of you to my right from here, you're going to read verse 3. Those of you directly in front of me, verse 4. And those of you to my left, the last two rows, you're going to read verse 5. Are you ready? All right, let's go. 1, 2, go. He said briefly. How many chapters of briefly? All right, verse 4, let's go. So I've prayed for you that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. But now, if you read this, you'll be able to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. All right, verse 5, those of you to my left want to go. Uh-huh. Glory be to God. So if you're going to grow in light, you have to study. Praying about it is not enough. Paul prayed, and then he said, I've prayed that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, but I've also written about it so that when you read, you will what? The word of God was written for you to understand. You know, some people just say, no, these things are mysteries. These things are mysteries. These things are mysteries. It's been given unto you to know the mysteries. If you are going to grow, study has to be an active, major part of your life. And you studied for less significant things before. Hello? You wanted to learn, how do I take the best pictures with my iPhone? Okay, also Android. No, I don't believe Jesus used an iPhone. I don't, that's PK. But if Jesus was alive though, what phone will he have used? An iPhone, stop. I don't know what's up with me today. You've studied deeper for less important things. When you were in school, so study in the night, you put your leg inside water, you drink coffee, you won't agree to sleep. Now you're studying your Bible. Once your eye blink, like you say, Lord, tomorrow. And what you study was not spirit and life. Maybe sociology. For example. But yet, you gave it so much what? Attention. Almost like I studied a serious course. PL, I studied law. What are you doing now? You don't go past human hair. If you're a lawyer, let me see you. If you're a lawyer and you're selling human hair, you have boutique. But it was important to you. So you committed time. You behaved like a workman. So it came to meet Pastor and said, Pastor, sometimes I don't feel like studying my Bible. And Pastor was like, do you think I always feel like, although I think Bible study is also a hobby for Pastisha. He loves it so much. But even in the times where he doesn't feel like, he makes that effort. He makes that effort. You know, someone asked, I think it was Matthijs No. Muhammad Ali, said, why do you like waking up early every day by 4 a.m. to go to the gym and working out all day? And he says, do you know what? I don't like it. I hate it. I really hate it. He says, but I love winning. So even when it seems difficult to study the word, do you love light? Do you love growth? Don't confuse me. I said, do you love growth? Do you love progress in the faith? So study. Not your neighbor and say study. Not your neighbor and say study. Number two, meditate. Meditate. Joshua 1:8 is a memory verse. Let me see. How many of you know Joshua 1:8 of heart?
Well, I finally, something I know. All right, if you know it's offered, I want us to recite it together like we used to do in Children's Church. Once we're ready, go. Okay, some people meant they learned the first two sentences. You should have told me. This book of the law shall not depart out of your heart. So there is a part of talking it, of preaching the word of God to yourself. It says, but you will meditate therein day and night. So it should also do not depart from your mind. It says that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and then you will make your way prosperous. As a result of this, your path will shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Because it might be prophesied about you, but it's not automatic. You have to do something about it. And then that will have good success. So what are some points on meditation you should know? Number one, focus. So your neighbor say, focus. Focus. It's weird. You have been sitting, this person who came to church with you in the same car. You did not gist. You were quiet. You came early. You didn't gist. You were quiet. The moment the word of God starts going on like this, you have a lot to say to them. Why? Remember, focus. Focus on the word of God. It's not enough to just learn how to preach the word. It's important though. But see, there is a way to listen. There is a posture you take when the word of God is going on. You have to learn it. Learn it. That's how you grow. Listen, meditate, pay attention, focus. Focus. Why on earth is the word of God going on and you are checking your phone? Many of us, it's YouTube that translated to use to catch us. You claimed you were praying 30 minutes every morning. It turns out it was just 3. The rest, it was Mixler. Mixler was turning on you. You were doing what you like. Just put it on. Praying in tongues. Instagram. Praying in tongues. Text messages. Sometimes you don't even know when you have switched to hear the video. It's something like I've done this thing before. That's God convicting you. Something, P, how do you know? You, how do you know? Focus. When you realize that you are behaving a particular way, learn to adjust yourself. Self-awareness will help you. I realize that any time I wake up to pray and I stay in this sitting position, I know not what will happen to me. Then you tell yourself, self, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, stand up. Be conscious. Focus. Some of you need physical Bible. You need what? Your Bible is on your phone. You. When you want to do office work, you don't use that phone because you know yourself. But the word of God, get a physical Bible. When we are in school, the way pastor used to study his Bible, he'll buy a new Bible. He'll make his notes. When he's done, drop it and buy another one. And I'll forget one time, I used to like the way the guy used to preach. So one time I carried his Bible. I put it over my Bible. I said, God, please, I need the understanding that this man has. I gummed two of them together. Thankfully, it worked for me because he was also my teacher. You get that? So it's the teaching that worked, not that prayer. Glory be to God. Focus. And then I said in my notes, water. When you get a verse of scripture, water it with tongues. Pray in tongues over it. It's a different experience. You know, this one you have tested it well. Water it in the place of prayer. Sometimes it's just a simple verse. Spend all day watering it. Then light comes. Then a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation. Remember, the words, they are spirit and they are life. That's how light comes. Water it. Another point I memorized. What did I say? There's something I did in my branch one time. Before we took family pictures, I was asking people to say the memory verse. I think we should try it. Which memory verse do we choose? Joshua 1:8. The complete version. Not first two lines. It's not fair that the last time you learned how to memorize scripture was when you were in children's church or CRS class. Memorize. If it means turning it into song, turn it into what? Song that came out 2023. You know all the lines. The word of God has been abiding forever. You don't know it. So memorize, memorize. And then the next step in meditation, repeat. Repeat. Not that you say rinse and repeat, but that rinse is not sounding well. Like if you rinse, you can forget everything. So repeat. Go again, go again, go again, go again until the day dawns. Until the sun is shining, not like 7 a.m. sun, but like 3 o'clock sun. Go in the word again. Do you know that the things that will change your life more often than not, you already know them? You already know them. But now the question is, how well do you know them? How well do you know them? You know your A to Z's, that's true. But do you know your Z to A's as quickly as you know your A to Z's? Go again. Tell your neighbor, say go again. Go again. Let it come alive to you. If you stay in the word long enough, it will jump at you. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Another step. Get a good teacher. I want to deal with a misconception about having Bible teachers. Gospel according to Twitter. You know, one time I saw a tweet on Twitter, I'll never forget it. Welcome to Twitter. Someone from an unhappy home will be with you shortly. Oh my God. The gospel according to Twitter tells you that you don't need a Bible teacher. Just read the Bible. I can tell you for free that there are people you know that have this mindset that they don't need a touch and none of them is growing properly. So let's look at this misconception. 1 John 2, that's where I want to start from. 1 John 2 from verse 24. How many of us agree that the letters of the apostles were given to teach? Okay, so here, John is teaching something. 1 John 2, from verse 26. Let's read 26 together. Are you there? Is the screen there? All right, let's go. Once we go. Okay. About those who are trying to deceive you, And as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you what? You what? Just as his true and his genuine anointing teaches you about all things, so remain in him as you have been what? As you have been what? Thoughts. First point, what is John doing here? Answer me. What is he doing here? Oh, he's teaching. And this is not his first letter. This is not his only letter. He's teaching. So that means that if he's teaching, he cannot be telling you that you don't need a Bible teacher. Do you get that? He's teaching here. It's just like me preaching to you and I tell you, you don't need anybody to tell you that you are born again if you believe in Jesus. Do you understand? Will you not go back home and say, PL said, I don't need anybody to tell me. Do you understand that? So he's saying, you already know what you have believed about Christ. Don't be deceived. It's simple. And the fact that he himself is teaching here, as he has done several times before, shows you that he's not referring to the fact that you don't need a Bible teacher. Do you understand that? If you understand that, say, I understand. All right, Ephesians 4 from verse 11. Bible says that it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be prophets and pastors and teachers. Jesus gave ministry gifts to do what? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. So even if it's possible by any chance that you can grow on your own, that's not the Bible way. That's not the Bible way. Faith in Jesus, then love for the saints. You can't come to believe in Jesus if you're not a part of his body. It's not done. Glory be to God. So get a good Bible teacher. This is something the Ethiopian eunuch understood. Acts chapter 8 from verse 30. Philip ran up and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you are reading? And if it's some of us, you first of all look at Philip with his legged Benz. Talking to you in a chariot. Between me and you, who go understand? But he says, how can I, unless someone guide me? So if you're going to grow in the word, you're going to need a good Bible teacher. Thankfully, you have my favorite people to listen to in the world, as CCI pastors. Any one of them. And you have good pastors. You have a great teacher in our lead pastor. So listen and grow. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And my last point, how do I shine brighter in the world? Or how does the word of God become brighter to me? This is very important. I said run with the word. What did I say? What was the first point I made earlier? I didn't know. What was number three? Now, so they did fail. What was number two? What was number three? Eh? And number four? What was number one? What was number three? You guys are smart. Please put your hands together for yourselves. So I said, run with the word. Lord, let your light come. Let your light come. Light has come. Have you gone? Many of us do not grow in the word because the things you've understood, you've not yet obeyed. Yes, I'm talking to you. At the back, you. The things that you've understood, you've not yet moved to do them. You know, there are some classes you start attending and you're feeling smart. It's interesting, you understand. But then you start backsliding. You miss one assignment. And after you miss that assignment, it's the end. You miss one class, one project, and that's the end. Because there is a system to growth. There is a system to growth. And so if you are consistently disobedient, you will consistently lack light. Hi. Hello. So one way to grow in the word, obey the last command. Abraham, you are not going to see a ram in the thicket if you have not carried Isaac. Can you hear me? If you've not taken Isaac to the mountain, don't be waiting for revelation of ram. Obey the last command. Jeremiah 8 from verse 9. Jeremiah said, I will not mention him or speak his name anymore, but his word was like fire shut up in my bones, and I became weary of holding it, and I cannot prevail. Let the word of God be like fire to you. Even though it is your privilege in God to have his word, don't take it for granted. Do you get that? It's your right as a son, but don't take it for granted. Enough of knowing what God will have you do, but doing what you want to do. And so if you will grow in light, you must learn to follow step by step. A light to your feet, a lamp to your path. If you are not moving, the light will not progress. So go with the word. Tell your neighbor, say, go with the word. Tell your neighbor, say, run with the word. Ezekiel was speaking, Ezekiel chapter 1. I think from verse 1, he says, son of man, I think it's 2 from verse 1. Sorry if I missed that. Stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. In other words, pay attention. Be ready to move. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. There is a readiness you must have when you expect to hear from God. You know, I was telling them in the midweek service about how that rich young ruler was so excited. He had things that he wanted to tell Jesus. When he meets Jesus, he's like, ah, finally, my dreams have come true. And so Jesus tells him, go and sell your goods and give to the poor. And he walked away sad. Because the point wasn't what would Jesus say. The point was, will you obey if you hear what he says? Stop hardening your heart. It's time for you to say yes to God. Stop waiting for all the questions to be answered before you say yes to God. He is Lord, not you. Stop waiting for him to bring husband material before you break up with the unbeliever. I think I should go here. Say, Lord, you know I want to obey you, but right now he's paying my bills. I will stay here. Once I get a job like this that can give me the money he's giving me, I will obey. You go there. It's going to be a while. Because it will be harder to work with your hands. But it's better to obey God. It's better to obey God. Someone said, I'm dating a guy that is doing yahoo yahoo, but it's because there is no job. The kind of job he will get with his qualifications compared to yahoo yahoo, that money will always be more. So if you're obeying God, you must obey God for God's sake. And not for reward's sake. Enough of compromise, I will obey the Lord. Enough of compromise, I will obey the Lord. See, I have seen eyes. I have hearing ears. I have an understanding heart. And I have obedient feet. Rise to your feet as we pray today in the name of Jesus. My eyes are open to see. My path shines brighter and brighter. And for many of you, I want you to make a commitment to obedience. A commitment to obedience. A commitment to obedience. Stop waiting for God to do what you want before you do what he wants. Daddy, I'm going to say yes to your will. I declare that my eyes are open. Stop saying no to God. If you hear his voice like you are doing right now, do not harden your heart. Father, I'm open, I'm receptive. You've given me light so that I do not stumble in darkness. No longer will I shut my eyes to your light. I obey you. I obey your word. I'm not just a hearer. I'm a doer also. I'm not just a hearer. I'm a doer also. I'm not a forgetful hearer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God did what was thought impossible in Christ. A man dead 3 days, and he rises from the dead. And you know, they put soldiers outside because they thought, just like in the case of Lazarus, the agent of resurrection will come from outside. But Jesus didn't need anyone to call him forth. Because the flowers may fade, time will pass, but the word of the Lord, it abides forever. The word of the Lord abides forever. And if Jesus could rise again after 3 days because God had said it, it means that nothing is impossible.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.